All right. Hello, family. My name is Bev, and I am a compulsive eater. And I am so nervous. I can't believe how nervous I am. I mean, my heart is like pounding, and I'm sweating, and it's incredible. I really don't like telling my story. This is the first time I'm telling my OA story, and I don't know why. I don't like telling my story. I don't know why I'm not standing on the rooftop screaming to everybody my story, because this program has saved my life over and over and over again. And every time I want it over, it comes back and saves me again. And so I don't know why, but I'm so nervous. But I'm told that it's not really me speaking anyway, and to just let my higher power speak through me. So I think I'll do the fear prayer real quick. Just a moment. Still nervous. All right, I'm just gonna start. So I don't want to talk a whole lot about my family of origin, except to say that it was dysfunctional, but really, I don't know what family isn't dysfunctional to some degree in this world. And my father would be considered abusive and very, very, very critical. And I know, the normal stuff, clean your plate. There are starving children somewhere, as if, if I clean my plate, that's going to feed some kid somewhere. Some I don't know how that worked, but and then there was there he was very critical about us all the time. I don't recall too much about my childhood. I just know that I was really always afraid in my life, but I didn't know that then because it was just a way of life. And I also do know that he sent me to modeling school like at age 11 so I could be a proper lady at age 11. And that didn't really stick at all. Anyhow, so I want to talk about how food affected how it showed up in me, this disease. I never knew I had a problem with food. I'd always been thin. I always ate a lot. I always ate more than most people. And people like that. I got so much praise about how can you eat so much and stay so thin? And I would just tell people, I don't know, good genes, I guess, just lucky. And I didn't really recall to the degree of how much I exercised until I came into this program and kind of started looking back at because I really doubted that I was an overeater. I was really doubting that I was a compulsive eater. And so I really had to kind of go back. Thank God my sponsor had me go back. And I really noticed that I exercised all a lot, like constant exercising. And this was when I was young, but I was always thin. So I always really, now that I know, now I remember I was exercising because I just had a lot of energy and I just needed to run off the energy. I would just do like Jane Fonda for hours and go out and run. And it was crazy how much I exercised and never thinking it had anything to do with being heavy or needing to maintain a thin body, I do know that my dad would tell us, you guys, you're getting too fat. Us girls always really mostly on my mom, you're too fat and you shouldn't eat that. And but at this point I really didn't care because I didn't have a lot of respect for him. So whatever he said didn't really matter to me at this point. And so then I want to say that I'm in other programs, but I think the only one that has any relevance to food for me in this story is the beverage program a bit, because I remember working at as a waitress, and I always worked the swing shift, and then after work I would binge on huge amounts of food and desserts, and then I would go party every night, and then I would get sick. And I do remember thinking, oh, well, at least I don't have to take on all those calories that I ate after work. And so then I would dance like a maniac all through the night. And that just kind of went on for many, many, many years. And so, I think when I was really young, I just exercised a lot and it was enough. And then because I always ate a lot. I remember somebody told me once, man, you have a stomach of steel. And I wore that label like a freaking gold medal. And I ate everything all the time. And I got so much praise. I was just, it really fed my ego. It fed my self-worth that I could eat as much as any guy and not lose weight. And I mean, not gain weight. And then, and so this one goes on for years and years and years, working, exercising, drinking, and throwing up. And I remember, I don't remember, but I was told that when I was a kid, I had a lot of problems with my belly a lot. I was really sickly. And I was at age 26 diagnosed with something called Crohn's disease. So for me, that manifests as an intestinal disorder, part of my large and small intestines. And for years, I did a bunch of medication. Nobody told me anything about a diet. I was in the hospital emergency room a lot, and I'm still doing nothing different except doing a bunch of medication and going to the hospital a lot. And then I went to three naturopathic doctors, and all three of them confirmed that I was actually allergic to some very specific foods: sugar, chocolate, wheat, and corn. I remember telling the doctor, "Chocolate? Well, you may as well kill me. How am I supposed to live without chocolate?" I binged on fast foods and candy bars all day long, and I really didn't think I could live without my candy bars. Can I say candy bars here? Okay, all right, thanks. All right, so now I'm very, very sick and I'm still doing the same thing. Oh, I start doing a little bit of the diet. Like I'm trying really hard to stay clean with my food. And it works a little bit for a little bit, but it doesn't work for very long. I'm still in the hospital, but not as much because now I would kind of go back to trying not to eat these things. So, now they've told me what not to eat, but they haven't told me how not to eat these things. And I really did not know I had a problem. All right, fast forward. So I'm going along like that for a lot of years. Finally, I find the drinking, the AA program, and I start getting a little bit of health, emotional health. I'm not drinking, but I'm still eating. And at some point, I'm so sick that I have to have some of my large and small intestines removed. I go back to a naturopathic doctor, reconfirming these things of the foods I can't eat. I go cold turkey for 4 years, like white knuckling, not eating those foods, but hating life like I can't believe. And I'm still in the beverage program, but I can't stand anything about life. But I'm not drinking. So, I know they say the credits don't cross over, and I know they don't to because I really need one overeater to talk with in order to understand what I was going through. Because if I went to an alcoholic and I said, I just can't stop eating donuts, they're going to say, "Well, have you had a drink?" And if I say no, they're going to go, "You're golden. Just don't drink," because that's the way it is, And so I still don't know I have a problem with food. And then I'm in program, and then my husband and I moved to this really remote island, and we think we're going to bring program there, but that doesn't fly. We're there for, I think, 3 months, but it might have been six. I'm not really good with the time frames of things. And I go into a full-blown food and emotional relapse. I'm exercising hours a day. I have nothing to do. I'm not doing anything. I'm just in a room exercising. I'm still reading my book. I am, there's no connect, air, there's no internet, so I'm not connecting with people around program, but I'm still meditating and doing lots of exercise and reading my big book and praying. It's not enough. I get very, very, very sick, and I'm in sepsis. And so I'm hospitalized for 2 years. And I mean, I'm sorry, 2 months, time thing. And
10 minutes.
oh, thanks. Thanks so much. So I'm hospitalized for 2 months. I almost died. The doctors say it's a miracle that I survived. And I'm on dialysis, and I really am miserable now. I really just don't want anything to do with another day. And but I have my AA support, and then they help me get through it. They come to my house every day. They give me a meeting. Now I've moved back to a bigger island where I have my people. And I still am eating. I'm not comfortable unless I'm full. I just can't stand to not feel really, really full. It's just what fills me up. I mean, it just makes me feel, I guess that fills that void that I've been trying to fill, you know. And so I'm still so sick, and physically, and of course mentally, emotionally, but I didn't really know that because I thought I had program and I thought I was doing all right. And I really didn't know I had a problem. So I moved to the States because they say the medical is better here than on the island I was living on. I go on a trip with my brother and his wife to Washington, D.C., and they are eating like we're used to eating together. And I'm trying to be good and stay away from those, you know, those main foods I can't eat, but I don't, nobody's told me how much I can eat of them or not eat of everything else. So I'm still eating a lot of food, and I'm starting to dip into, they'd order dessert, and I'd start dipping a little bit. And next thing I know, I'm ordering dessert. And my brother leaned over the table one day, and he said, "Beverly, are you okay to eat this?" And with every bit of knowing, I said, "Oh yes, I'm totally fine." What is anyway? is you know, I didn't know it then. It just shocks me today still. And so I really thought it was fine. I'm still very sick. And then somebody asked me if I would go to an OA meeting with them. They were wanting to lose weight. I don't need to lose weight. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll go. It was this meeting. I didn't know it was a closed meeting. I didn't know it was an overeater. But the very first meeting, I knew I needed you guys. And I really didn't want to. I had so much resistance. It's like, no, please, not another program. Well, I'm so sick. But I had this. So, you know, the credits don't cross over, but because I was in other programs, this first meeting I was in, I knew it. I just knew it. I didn't like it. I didn't want it, but I knew it. I couldn't deny it. And so second meeting, I was looking for a sponsor. It took me six women. I asked six women before somebody said yes. And I worked the 12 steps in the OA 12 and 12 with a beautiful woman. And then I felt a need to work the steps through the big book. And she said, "I'm not your girl." And so we're still good friends. I love her to death. I found a sponsor who would work through the big book with me. And it was as if I had never read it before. And I got so much out of it. I just finished step 12 with my sponsor. So this food thing is still really weird for me. You know, I was told in this program to give up my body to God, give my scale to God, give my food to God. And so I did that, and it worked for a little while. And but I was still eating too much. I already knew what I couldn't eat, but I was still eating too much. And one day I binged. It felt really like an emotional binge, and I went right to my sponsor and said, I think I relapsed. And she had me talk about it, and we've, you know, together we found out that it was an educational piece for my program. And so, okay, and then I had that happen with the scale. You know, I was off the scale, and then once I went on the scale, I could not stop obsessing about the scale. And so we worked through that so beautifully. I'm so grateful. And then this next piece was about weighing and measuring my food. At the beginning, I played with it a little bit. I didn't think it was for me. You know, I'm a yogi. I can intuitively figure out
Five
portions
minutes.
of my food. Thank you very much. And so but luckily I knew I had to go to her. And again, she helped me with it. She didn't tell me what to do. She just she you know, she just helped me figure it out. So now I weigh and measure my food, and it's changed everything. I can't, I'm still not comfortable not feeling full in my belly. And I'm still not, I haven't figured out exactly how to deal with weighing and fit, measuring when I eat out. I know I'll find my way. So it's a little bit different than just not picking up for me in this program. I want to talk about what it's like now. The working the steps this time around has helped me to make this a way of life that I need. It's the medicine I need in order to keep Crohn's at bay. And then I started gaining weight, by the way. And so that really, then I knew it was about the weight. It's the first time I'd been heavy. I started gaining weight because I was eating too much. And then that's when the whole scale thing happened. But now, then I was 100% convinced, okay, it is about the weight and I am a compulsive eater. But it took a long time. I had resisted for so long. And now I just take my pill. And that looks like prayer and meditation in the morning. Step 10 is through the day. Step 11 at night, working with others and doing service. Step 12. I do, I really, really use the fear inventory. Please, and now I'm not afraid. It wasn't right away, but it happened. And then, so I say the fear inventory a lot. Sometimes I go straight to that. I have a God squad, group of girls, women, and we share each other's 10 steps and fear inventories with each other. And I do my outreach calls, I take outreach calls. I do this on vacation because I'm not a compulsive eater just because I'm on vacation. I do it every day. I don't get to a meeting every day, but I'm in program every day. I'm living the principles every day. And when I think about how I used to feel the void of unworthiness with so many things, this is so simple. This program has given me a real foundation of a higher power that actually is there 24/7 for me at all times, day and night. In the middle of the night, if I have fear going on, I used to have a lot of nightmares, a lot of nightmares, and I don't have anymore. I don't have pain anymore in my belly. Never. It's incredible. And I'm not on any medication. I mean, I don't. I did it with a doctor. I didn't do that with my sponsor. I did that with my doctor, and I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy, and I'm joyous, and I feel free most of the time. I have bad days. Sometimes I have bad days. Sometimes I have bad moments, but I used to have bad decades, and it was just a way of life. And today, if I have a little discomfort, I know what to do. And it doesn't really last very long anymore if I do it. It's just coming to me now when I go out to eat, and I'll have to check with my sponsor. Maybe ask my husband if he could eyeball, because I can't eyeball things. I walk by a mirror, and one day I think I look
1 minute.
pretty good. Thank you. And I walk, by the mirror the next day, and I think I'm fat and old. And with my food, I can't eyeball my food. One day I'll eat my food plan the exact. Oh, I also am accountable to my sponsor every day. And when I don't do that, it's a slippery slope for me. It just starts. I think I could get away with it another day, and the next thing I know, it's bad. Anyhow, so but yeah, I can't eyeball my food because I will eat the same amount of food and one day feel totally full, and eat the same amount of food the next day and feel starving. So, I just trust my HP, and I know I'm good. So I am living a life I never imagined possible. And you guys are such a big part of it. And I think that's it. Thank you.